Good evening. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles this evening, all the way back to the beginning of God's Word in Genesis chapter 1, in just a moment there, we are going to look at a passage of Scripture as we begin our lesson this evening. As you're turning there, let me say how grateful I am for the presence of everyone. As Mark has already mentioned, we have visitors in our presence this evening, and we have those who are preaching the gospel, and I'm encouraged by your presence, and I hope that the good Lord will uphold your hands as you proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ, and you're making a great commitment to preach the Word of God. And some of you have traveled some distance to be with us this evening. I know the good brethren here at Adu Street appreciate your encouragement, and I certainly do as well. I hope that you've had a good day. I know some of you work all day and work right up until the time of the service, and I know it's a special sacrifice on your part to be at a service during the week, and I greatly appreciate that. And more importantly, the Lord is so honored by your presence here this evening. Some of you have to get little ones ready and dressed and all that kind of thing, and it's just an extra work there, and I greatly appreciate that. Mark and I had a great visit this morning with Sister Pat. It was good to spend some time with her. And sometime as a young man, I don't remember exactly when, but it's probably somewhere over here in Texas somewhere, I heard Brother Truman Smith preach, and I always appreciated his fine work in the gospel, and it was good to visit with Miss Pat this morning and her family. Appreciate the hospitality of the Mayberries as well. Last week, a young Christian woman, probably around 28 years old, a mother of two, faithful Christian, she posted a small note on her social media account that I don't read a whole lot, but I was so pleased to see it. I want to tell you up front that this is a good thing. This is going in a good direction. She posted a small note, and my wife said, I want you to come see this. And it's someone that we know. And this young lady, I think, is probably pretty wise for her age. She had known some others, probably members of the church, that she wanted to address. And she was talking about people who are constantly complaining. No one comes to see me. No one helps me. No one talks to me. No one comes up and greets me. No one is interested in me, and all that kind of thing. And I guess she had gotten enough of that and an earful of that. And so she just posted a little thing, and she said, if you really want to be happy, get out and serve others. The way to happiness and the way to get out of your depression and your woe is me and, everything is bad in life, the way you fix that is you get out and serve others. And she is so right. When we get out and serve others, when we get out and we put our lives in the lives of others, talk to them, serve them, help them, do something for them, do some good work for them, we're happy. When we don't do that kind of thing, we sit around all day long and we grumble and complain about this and that. So my wife showed me that little note, and then I texted her two thumbs up, amen. Because that's exactly what God's Word teaches. And we're going to talk tonight about our mission in this community. And we're going to talk about what you might be thinking about with regard to the work of the church. The elders wanted me to talk about the work of the church. And we're going to talk about that this evening. But the big overall point is this. Each Christian here, we need to get out and serve others. And I want to talk to all of us here this evening, and even our young Christians here this evening. You have a great opportunity to volunteer and be busy in the Lord's church. And I hope after this evening I will stir you to do that. Young people, here's my challenge for you this evening. When you go home, and I hope you'll do this, I want you to talk to mom and dad, even if you're real young. I want you to talk to mom and dad, and I want you to say, Mom, Dad, after hearing tonight's lesson, what can I do maybe next week? I want to do something next week for the church here. What can I do? Just talk with your mom and dad about that. It could be going to see somebody. It could be writing maybe a little note or something. But just ask mom and dad, what can I do? I want to do something maybe that I've never done before. And for all of us here this evening, whether we're young or old, let's see if we can add one thing that is new or different to the work here at Adu Street. And with our young people, just ask mom and dad, what can I do? Mark has a trip to the Philippines coming up in April. And as I understand, he's mentioned that to you. He's talked with you about that. Young people, let me give you a challenge on that one, okay? So April is coming up. We got March and then April. Here's what you do. If you get an allowance from your parents, why don't you, between now and April, set aside maybe $5, $10, go give it to Brother Mayberry and say, I want you to give this to a needy person, a needy Christian in the Philippines. Just go hand it to him. If you don't currently have an allowance, then ask your mom and dad, what little job can I do to get $5 or $10? I want to go give it to Brother Mark so he can take it to the Philippines. Will you do that for me? Brethren, I'm a firm believer in just practical things, and so tonight I'll be talking that way. Find some simple little practical things that you can do now, especially as you're young, to be involved in the Lord's work. You have, like most congregations, sign-up lists in the back. Make sure that sometime this year, your name is on there. For the ride list, to give Sister So-and-so a ride, to prepare the communion, to do the building cleaning. And parents, let me encourage you to do this, whether you're a member here or somewhere else. Take your children with you when you go to do something. If you go to clean the building, take your kids with you. I've been in places before where the parents started off taking the kids to clean the building because my office is down there, and so I see the whole family come in. And then after they get on up into teenage years, what happens? Well, the teenagers aren't going to be there anymore. They're at home on their phone while mom and dad are down at the building slaving, you know, cleaning the toilets and stuff. And so here's another thing, young people, you can do. When your parents sign up to do something, go do it with them. When mom and dad go to pick up Sister So-and-so, go with them. Help mom make the communion. Help them clean the building or whatever it is that you have back there to sign up for. One of the biggest dangers that we're facing, and Lord willing, I'm going to talk about this Sunday night in a lesson on dangers facing the church. When we think about dangers, we think of stuff like false teaching and error and things like that, and that's a big danger. But do you know one danger we face is inactivity among younger Christians? Who's going to clean the building 10, 20, 30 years from now when some of us are gone? Who's going to clean the building? Who's going to bring Sister So-and-so to the building? If the young people don't start learning that now, they're not going to just automatically do it later. So this evening, when we talk about the Lord's work and when we talk about that kind of thing, evangelism and edification and benevolence toward needy saints, let's think of it in a very practical way. What actually can I do? And when I, as an adult, am doing something, what can I get my kids to do? They learn by example. They see that I'm active, and then I'm going to help them to get active. I don't know how many times in my life I was introduced to something because mom and dad took me to do that, took me to make the visit, took me to make the home Bible study. It took me down to the building, and I had to run the sweeper and clean out the garbage can. I was made to do those things, and I am what I am partly today because of that kind of thing. Our children will not just automatically get active in the church at some point. They learn that from us early on. So this evening, when we talk about what we call the work of the church, let's make sure that we are as active as we can and get ourselves and our children involved. What is our mission in this community of Alvin, Texas? Who are we and why do we exist? If we don't know why we are here, we will not be doing what the Lord wants us to do. These are basic fundamental questions that we always have to ask ourselves as an individual Christian and as a local church. Why am I here? Young people, can you answer that question? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? Why am I here? Why are we here tonight? Why are we here? We're going to answer that this evening. What are we to be? And what are we to be doing? And whatever I need to be doing as an adult, I can help my children to be doing those things, those same things. And how are we to do it? That has to do with Bible authority. How are we to do it? And how well are we doing it? These are the kinds of things that not only do we ask ourselves as a local church, but some of you are in businesses. Some of you go to work each day and you're a part of a particular business. The CEOs and others that are running these businesses, they have to ask these same kinds of questions if they want to continue. A brother here this evening that works for a college, well, the people that run that college are asking these kinds of questions if they want that college to continue to exist. So it's really in a lot of areas of our life. We have to ask and answer these questions. You may have heard this statement, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's true even for us as God's people. So we're looking at our mission, our goal this evening. I want to share with you before we get into our Bible material, a quote from thebusinessdictionary.com. A mission statement is a written declaration of an organization's core purpose and function. I think it would be a good idea for elders to write a mission statement for the Adu Street congregation and post it back there on the board. You may already have one, but this is who we are, and this is what we are about, and this is what we are trying to accomplish each and every day in this community. Because if you don't have something like this, you tend to just go in circles. We've got to have a focus. We've got to have an aim. And often a written mission statement helps us to stay on that focus. And we want to not change that. It typically and normally remains unchanged over time. Properly crafted mission statements serve as filters to separate what is important from what is not. And we know that this is a problem, and we're going to close this evening with Revelation chapter 2 and 3, right? Five of the seven churches of Asia, they lost their mission statement. They no longer realized what was truly important. And it clearly states which markets will be served and how. It communicates a sense of intended direction to the entire organization. Again, without this, whether it's written or spoken, without it, we just go in circles and we just kind of exist. And not only do we not grow, but we may end up beginning to do things that are unauthorized. In the rest of that definition, a mission is different from a vision in that the former is the cause and the latter is the effect. We're talking this evening about the cause. What is the core purpose and direction that we need to be going? A mission is something to be accomplished, whereas a vision is something to be pursued for that accomplishment. And so this evening, we're going to remind ourselves of what our mission is and is not. Now, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. I want to share with you a biblical principle that I hope that you will find helpful this evening. I want to challenge you in your Bible study, both in the Old and New Testament, that when you come across a passage where it says that God is blessing someone, you'll find that different places in the Bible. I want you to take notice of something. When the Bible says that so-and-so is blessed, read carefully within the context of that passage, you will often find something else. Not only is God blessing the person, listen carefully, He also gives the blessed person a mission to accomplish as they are being blessed. Look for that in your Bible study. Let's illustrate it. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. There are people that are blessed, but in the same place, it is mentioned that God wants them to do something with that blessing. If you're taking notes this evening, take note of that. And as I said earlier, if you'll examine that in the Old and New Testament, you'll often find where there is a blessing and then there is a corresponding requirement or responsibility or mission that goes along with that. My point, brethren, is this. God doesn't bless us just, I'm going to give them a blessing. And you get up each day, God blessed me. It's not just that God blesses me, but He wants me to turn around and do something with that blessing. Notice that when you study the Bible. So let's look at a few illustrations. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 27, and God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And God blessed them. Look at that. God blessed them. So underscore that in your Bible. They're blessed by God. The fact that they're living, that's a blessing. The fact that they are created is a blessing. The fact that they are made in the image of God, that's a blessing. But the verse doesn't stop there. Look at what the verse says. And He blessed them, and look at what He said. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's their mission. I'm going to bless you, but you need to go out and do something with that blessing. Do you see that? Okay. Let's look at another example. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, the well-known blessing of Abraham when he was called from the Ur of the Chaldees, Genesis 12, 1. Now Jehovah said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Underscore that in your Bible. I will bless thee. Abraham was greatly blessed. He had to obey what God wanted him to do, and he was greatly blessed. Look at verse 2. And I will bless thee. Okay, I will make thee of a great nation. I will bless thee. Look at this. And make thy name great and be thou a blessing. That's the part of Genesis 12 that we don't preach on very much. We talk about the land promise and the nation promise, you see, and the seed promise. But read that verse again. There's another statement in there. You're to go out and be a blessing to others. And listen, when Abraham got down into Egypt and he lied, he wasn't blessing others. He wasn't doing that. And when he and Sarah said, we'll have a child through Hagar, he wasn't blessing others. There were other times, of course, when he was obedient to God that he was actually blessing others around him. But God says, I will bless you, but then he turns around and says, and you be a blessing to others. Do you see that? Okay, let's look at another example. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. When God called Israel out of Egypt, and he wanted them to separate, and he wanted to have a people for his own possession through which the Christ would come. Look at Deuteronomy 28. This is the great chapter on the blessings that were given from Mount Gerizim. The curses were pronounced at Mount Ebal, and the blessings were pronounced at Mount Gerizim. And we come down to Deuteronomy, really you could start in verse 1, where God says, I'm going to bless Israel with all of these things. In fact, the word blessing shows up over and over again in verses 1 through 6. Pick up the reading in Deuteronomy 28, verse 7. Jehovah will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thee. They shall come out against the one way and shall flee before thee seven ways. Jehovah will command the blessing upon thee in thy barns and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. And he will bless thee in the land which Jehovah God gives thee. Now look at this. Jehovah will establish thee for a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of Jehovah thy God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that thou art called by thy name. That's the mission right there. I'm going to bless you with all of these things, and I'm going to take your enemies away, and I'm going to raise you up, and your crops are going to be great. But you're supposed to be a people where other people, the Canaanites and others, they learn about me through you. And through you, they learn about me. And what does it say? The peoples of the earth shall see that thou art called by my name. We know later, the language used later, like in Isaiah, is you are to be a light to the Gentiles. Well, they stopped being a blessing when they engaged in idolatry and when they fell away from the Lord and they didn't listen to the prophets. They were no longer a blessing to people. But that was their mission. My point, brethren, is blessing is not just a one-way thing. God blesses us. We are to turn around and accomplish this mission that he has for us in the world. Let's continue on with a few other illustrations. Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. The great blessing that are given to parents, and we see our parents this evening with children, and God has blessed my wife and I with four beautiful children, and maybe you've been blessed with children and now grandchildren. And so the family is a blessing in Psalm 127. By the way, there are a few couplets in the Psalms where it's best to read these Psalms together. And Psalm 127 and Psalm 128 are best read together on the marriage and the home. We're very familiar with Psalm 127. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them, children. They shall not be put to shame when they speak of their enemies. Blessed is everyone that fears Jehovah, that walks in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy thou shalt be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of thy house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that fears Jehovah. Jehovah, bless thee out of Zion, and see thou the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. And see thou thy children's children, peace be upon Israel. So obviously the family relationship is a blessed relationship, but we're supposed to turn around, for example, in Ephesians 6, we're supposed to turn around and bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we're blessed with children, Psalm 127, and we turn around and raise them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. Do you know that marriage is a blessing? Unlike our culture today, Western culture, do you know that marriage is in decline and having children is in decline in Western culture because it's being put down on every front? Our media and other things like that say, don't get married and don't have children. Young people, listen to me. That's a lie. Get married and have children. And I say that unabashedly because that's what the Bible teaches. If at all possible. Don't listen to culture. Marriage is a good thing. Having children is a good thing, and it's a blessing. And when a man finds a prudent wife, that comes from the Lord, and he has been blessed by that. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of Jehovah. And chapter 19 and verse 14, a prudent wife is from the Lord. I believe I've found one. You, I'm sure, have found one. But then I, as a husband, have a mission that goes with that. And that is, I'm to love her as Christ loved the church, which is a sacrificial giving love. I've been blessed with a prudent wife. Now I need to turn around and love her as Christ loved the church. So, blessings come with missions. And now we come down to the local church and Christians. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 26, Jesus is the prophet that God would raise up likened unto Moses. Acts 3:26. And If we hearken unto him in all things, Peter preaching that second recorded sermon there in Acts chapter 2 and 3, he says that God has sent Jesus to bless you and has sent him, Jesus, to bless you in turning away everyone from your sins. And we are greatly blessed. It starts with forgiveness of sins and then things like answered prayer and being with other Christians and the Word of God in our life. But we have a mission, and that is the church is the household of God, and we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. We have been blessed through Jesus Christ, starting with forgiveness of sins, but we have to turn around and carry out the mission that Christ has for us, and that is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so, brethren, like the mission statement that we looked at earlier, we need to know our purpose, and we need to stay focused, and we need to keep on the right direction, and we need to remain unchanged in our mission. We are so blessed. But with every blessing comes a mission, comes a responsibility. And I hope that we'll go home thinking about that. A lot of times, and I've even tried to start saying, when I was young and somebody would ask me how I'm doing and this and that, and I would respond, as I've gotten older, I try to use that language of I'm blessed. I try to use that language because I want to give the focus that God is blessing me in so many ways. But I also have to remember that, yes, God blesses me, but I have to turn around and carry out that mission that I have for Him as well. So let's look at our mission this evening. It is not social reform. There are plenty of agencies in town that can help people with poverty and food and education and things like that. The mission of the local church is not social reform. It's not recreation. Nobody loves to have fun more than I do. And when my kids were real little, I would just beat up on them at playing basketball. Now they beat up on me. I used to beat up on them with ping pong. Ping pong was big in the Reeves family. We all had to learn how to play ping pong. My dad taught us ping pong. And so my kids were real little, went out and bought a ping pong table and just killed them all the time. Now they all kill me. And when we get together for Thanksgiving or something, Dad, come out and play ping pong with it. Well, maybe not, because I end up losing every time. Now they kill me. I love recreation, but that's not the work of the local church. There's plenty of places around where that can be fulfilled in the home and other kinds of things. It is not the purpose of the local church to be a business. We have plenty of businesses in Alvin that can take care of all kinds of things. And if you're like the average town, you've got plenty of car washes, for example. And when somebody wants to come in and build a new business in Alvin, it's usually another car wash, right? And you've had your fill of car washes. So it's things like that. We've got plenty of businesses. It's not the work of the local church to be a business. There's great schools here in Alvin, I'm sure. It's not the work of the local church to engage in education. I'm all for it. I think our young people need to be educated. It's good to learn math and science and history and geography and social studies and that kind of thing. Talking to a young lady last night, she's trying to get a psychology degree. Hopefully she will not analyze me this week. But secular education is a great thing, but it's not the work of the local church. We've got plenty of schools and things like that to handle that matter. It's not the work of the local church to engage in some sort of politics. Government is one of the three divine institutions that God made. God ordained the home, civil government, and the church. Romans 13, there is a place for civil government to be in a nation to punish the evildoer and things like that. There are plenty of people and agencies locally, state, and federally that can handle those kinds of things. It is not the work of the local church to engage in that. Neither is it the work of the local church to engage in some sort of hospitals or medicine, things like that. In fact, I know some brethren that have just in my life personally that are just great brethren who are in the medical field. We've got a lady with us right now that's just a just a fine, godly woman that has been a nurse and taught nursing at the university level her whole life. Just a great lady. Brethren engage in the medical field. That's a super thing to save lives and help lives. But it's not the work of the local church to engage in some sort of medicine. So if our mission is not that, what is our mission? Well, let's illustrate this evening what our mission is from various churches, and then we will look at that by looking at the church at Jerusalem. Our mission is to evangelize the lost. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. The local church at Thessalonica sounded forth the word of God. So the work of the local church here at Adu Street is to preach the gospel to the lost. Mark can do that, others can do that, but all of you can study with others. You could be a husband and wife like Priscilla and Aquila who sat down with Apollos. In the Lord's church, the authority in a mixed assembly is for a man to preach and teach. But there are situations where you can talk to others about the Word of God, both men and women. And so from you has sounded forth the Word of the Lord from this church in Thessalonica. So be engaged in evangelism. Talk with your friends and neighbors about the gospel. We sang that great song this evening that we need to send out that message and send out that light to others around us. Many are groping in sin and in darkness, and we need to talk with them. And young people, listen, you are some of the best ones who can do that. Invite your friends to the gospel meeting this weekend. Invite them to the service on Sunday. I know of young people who are very, very successful in talking with their friends, and just invite them to services. Many of your friends, young people, they don't go anywhere. Their parents don't go anywhere. They don't go anywhere. And often they'll say, sure, I'll come with you to the service. And begin to talk with others about the Word of God. Get the seed out of the bag. We've got the Word of God here, but you got to go out there and plant the seed. Maybe you have cards that you can pass out. I try to take the Warfield Boulevard card. I give it to the teller at the bank when I go through the bank line. We often will leave a card with a waitress at a restaurant. Just start talking with others about the gospel. It's not going to hurt anything. And if you get a no, no big deal. Just go on to the next person. Eventually, you will get a yes. But our mission is to evangelize the lost in this community. And in my personal experience, Mark can speak for himself, but in my personal experience, I have seen in the Lord's church where in many cases, the church members can reach someone when the preacher can't. And I'm not making excuses for me, the preacher, but what happens is when they find out I'm the preacher, they just kind of they shut down. They won't do that with you. They won't do that with you, a neighbor or someone else. You're just like them in their eyes, and they open up and they listen to you. And Sherilyn was talking to me today about she was giving a flyer to one of the neighbors. So just Invite. Try to share the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, the church at Ephesus gives us the example of the second work, and that is to edify or build up through teaching those that are already saved. And so the second work of the local church is to engage in edifying those who are already saved. And so that is done through the Word of God. The first one is done through the Word of God, and the second one is done through the Word of God. And so, the elders, whom we still have today, who are teachers, and we still have evangelists today, verse 11, these other individuals were given for revelation, apostles and prophets. Those, because the revelation is complete now, we don't have those individuals, but we still have evangelists and pastors or elders who are teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting, building up, completing. Unto the work of ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. So elders, evangelists and elders are given. So apostles and prophets, they reveal the Word of God. Evangelists, They spread the word of God. Pastors teach and uphold the word of God. And the purpose is given in verse 12 for the perfecting of the saints. Read verse 12 carefully. I like the American Standard and how it switches the prepositions because there's actually a change here. It's for the perfecting of the saints, look at it, unto, so that the saints can go out and do the work of ministering, and the saints can go out and do the building up of the body of Christ. So all of us are engaged in edifying those that are saved. So again, trying to include the kids as well. Go talk to a shut-in and take your kids. Go talk to a shut-in, build them up, encourage them. Go up to Mark sometime. Young people, go up to Mark sometime and just say, hey, I really appreciate the good work you're doing, or one of the elders, or one of the deacons. Edify, build up those that are saved, and be present at a gospel meeting. Be present when the doors are open, because we want to encourage one another. With regard to assembling, Hebrews 10:25, we want to stir up or provoke unto love and good works by not forsaking our own assembling. And so it's an opportunity to edify and be built up even that way. And in 1 Corinthians 16, if you want to turn there, verse 2, the third work of the local church is to help needy saints, to help those saints that are in need. And so from the church treasury, the benevolence is limited to those who are saints. There are 9 passages in the New Testament that deal with the Lord's treasury and benevolence. And in every case, it is always benevolence toward needy saints from the treasury. Now, individually, like the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, individually, we can help anybody and everybody. But from the Lord's treasury, it's helping those who are needy saints. There again, you can be involved with your parents, young people, in that as well. But upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store as he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. Who is it for? Verse 1, for the saints. And so the work of evangelism to the lost, edifying the saved, and helping with benevolence those who are needy saints. We can even do that individually, and that's why I said earlier, Mark has a trip coming up in April. Young people, why not just go give Mark a little money? He'll keep track of it. He'll make a note of that, and he'll take that to some needy folks in the Philippines. Young people, do you know that in the Philippines, and I also go to Ghana every other year, Ghana, Africa. Young people, do you know that there are young people, they might have one or two outfits to wear. You've got so many outfits in your closet and it's all crammed in your drawer and everything. Clothes are falling everywhere. I know young people overseas that might have a couple of outfits. You got all kinds of food in the refrigerator and the pantry's full of food and all this kind of stuff. There are young people your age in other countries that just don't have a whole lot. Okay? So we can help them and we can help our brethren in other places. Be mindful of that. They don't have the phones like you have and all kinds of clothes to wear and all kinds of shoes to wear. And so be mindful of people in other places. One way you can do that is to give some assistance and let Mark take that with him if you want to do that. And then, of course, we are to engage in worship to the Lord. So the church at Troas gathered together on the first day of the week to take the Lord's Supper and to hear the preaching of the gospel. This can also be illustrated not from multiple churches, but I like to illustrate this from just one church, the church at Jerusalem. So in Jerusalem, Acts 4, Acts 5, they preached in the name of Jesus every day in the temple and at home. They preached the word of God. Peter and John were arrested, and when they were led out of jail, miraculously, they go right back to preaching the Word of God. The apostles focused on the preaching of the Word of God, and then ultimately the whole church was scattered abroad preaching the Word, Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. So let's be involved in that. And here's what you can do. Sometimes you might not be the person who is actually doing the speaking. You can be the one that opens your home, and Mark will come over and do the speaking. You can go with someone, and if they're doing the speaking, you can just go and support them. Hey, let me ride along with you as you go to talk with somebody else. You could do that. You could say, I've had this happen in my life, and please don't do this to me this week. Please don't do this. I'm just giving it as an illustration. But I've had someone come up and say, Brother Reeves, here's X amount of dollars. I want this to go to preaching of the gospel. And someone could take that and maybe buy some Bibles with it or give it to a preacher who is in need of support. Mark will tell you, once you start going overseas, you get a lot of requests, legitimate requests for help, and there's a lot of preachers that need help. And so you could help evangelize that way. There's just different ways that we can get involved. And as adults, listen, as adults, if you say, you know, Brother Reese has got me to thinking about something. I think I'm gonna do such and such. Just include your kids with that. If nothing else, include them in the conversation and say, hey, you wanna help me with this? And it gets them excited early on to be doing things. In Acts chapter 15, the church at Jerusalem gathered together to hear the truth about the fact that we don't have to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses in order to be saved. What we need is obedience to the gospel. And so Paul stands up and Barnabas, and they said, listen, we preached the gospel to the Gentiles. That's what saves. Peter stands up and says, I preach the gospel to Cornelius. That's what saves. And then James got up and, in quoting the prophet Amos, made the point that it's Jesus Christ that is how the house or the tabernacle of David is going to be rebuilt. And so they edified each other through the preaching of the word. The apostles are gathered there, the elders, and then all the church members. Be a part of things that edify brethren through the gospel. It could be a gospel meeting, some sort of a special service that you're having. If somebody is meeting in their home for some kind of a Bible study, attend that, be a part of that. Edify the saved brethren. Number three, we help the needy saints. And so in Acts chapter 2, the brethren were giving and were selfless. And when people had come from different parts of the world on the day of Pentecost, and they stayed because they're now members of the church there, when they were in need, all that believed were together and had all things in common. And so they helped their brethren in chapter 2, chapter 4, and in chapter 6. Be giving. Be sharing. God gives us homes and cars and savings accounts and all kinds of nice material things. Turn around and use the car to go pick up brother or sister so-and-so. Use your home or use your retirement or use something in the Lord's work. We are blessed to turn around and carry out a mission. I believe you, brethren, are like that and want that and are currently doing that. And let me encourage you to keep that up. And of course, we are here to worship the Lord. And so they continued steadfastly in these things that involve worship, teaching, fellowship, or the contribution, breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, and the prayers. Brethren, let's keep in mind what our mission is. As we close this evening, I want to remind us of the seven churches of Asia. Five of them were condemned. You remember that? Five of the seven were condemned. Smyrna and Philadelphia were commended only. The other five are condemned. And they had lost sight of their mission. And the sad thing was, it was somewhere within 40 years. These churches, some of them are established in the 50s AD. Some of them might be closer to 60 AD. So somewhere 35 to 40 years, five of the seven had lost their mission. I'm sure Church of Christ was still out there on the sign. if you'll allow me that. I'm sure they call themselves Church of Christ, but Ephesus has lost their love. Oh, we're still coming to the building, but we don't love Christ like we should, and we don't love our brethren like we should. And Pergamum and Thyatira, it was all about putting up with and tolerating false teaching. And these Nicolaitans, boy, they're impressive. So I guess we'll allow the Nicolaitans to teach. And Jezebel, she seduces my servants to commit fornication, and we're just going to tolerate her, one version says. The older versions say you suffer Jezebel. You tolerate her. And that goes on today. So Pergamum and Thyatira, they're just allowing false teaching to go on when once they didn't do that, but now they're doing it. And Sardis, they had a name that were living, oh, we're Church of Christ. But they're not completing their works. They're not doing what God wants them to do. And Laodicea is lukewarm. And so it's easy, brethren, to begin. And I don't know how long the congregation has been here at Adu Street, but a congregation gets started all over the country, all over the world. A congregation gets started. And I would say that in most cases, boy, they are mission-oriented. They're focused. We're going to do the Lord's work. But then time sets in, and the world creeps in, and these churches lose their mission. Let us not allow that to happen here at Adu Street. And I don't believe you want that. And so, Jesus stayed focused. When he was in Capernaum in Mark 1, we want you to stay longer. The crowds come and say, we want you to stay longer. Jesus said, I need to go other places, for to this end I was sent. I need to go other places and preach. He stayed focused. He said, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. He stayed focused. And in Luke, the text says that he set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem because that's where he was going to be delivered up. And he would not be deterred from that. The Apostle Paul stayed focused on his mission. We make it our aim to always be pleasing to him. He was talking about Christ. Our aim. That's what our aim is. Because the next verse says, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, it's a pretty good idea to stay on focus if we're going to stand before Christ one day. And then he said, as you know, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Brethren, if Jesus can stay focused and Paul can stay focused, let us. And so we will always be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We are not going to be deterred from that. And I believe the good brethren here, those who are visiting, I believe that that's what we want in our lives. And so this evening, as we stand and sing this song of invitation here in just a moment, be thinking about how greatly blessed we are. We are so blessed to live in this nation. We are so blessed to live in this country. We are so blessed to have these great things in our lives. But we need to turn around now and carry out that mission that God wants for us. And parents, let's include our young people in that regard. If you want to come and change that again, Mark, so that we can have that, I apologize. I've done all I can do on that, and maybe it's me. It might be operator error. But listen, Jesus has come. God has sent Jesus to bless us. Start that blessing this evening by coming. If you need to be baptized into Christ, the blessing will begin immediately. When we come up out of that water, we will be blessed immediately. If you're a child of God that's erred in some way, come back and let the good brethren know that you're wanting to make that change. The blessings will come immediately. And then we can all leave this building this evening carrying out that mission that God has for us. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we